You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. Last show, I went over the fact, and I am going to play it again, because I think Donald Trump pulled off a brilliant move. And what am I talking about? Last show, I played a clip from a rally that President Trump had in Mississippi, this got a lot of media coverage. A lot of media coverage. Now, why? For about at least 2 weeks since the lady came forward, and although she didn't want to, and accused Judge Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault. How did the big lie media play it? And what didn't they disclose? What they didn't disclose is that the four people she named all say they weren't there. They don't have no recollection of it at all, including her best friend. So there's absolutely no evidence. And see, that's the problem. And I and many other people have commented on, you just can't accuse somebody if you have no one backing you up. And that's exactly what she did. Now, that does explain why she was very insistent that she didn't want to come forward publicly. Not at all. And she said that in the letter, and that letter was leaked by somebody. So what happened is Trump mocked her, and I'll play it because it's not a long clip. I'm not going to play the whole thing. But this is what's gotten everyone excited.
What's happening now, they had gang rape, many times. Well, that turned out to be false. So many different charges. Guilty until proven innocent. That's very dangerous for our country.
I agree.
That's very dangerous for our country. And I have it myself all the time. But for me, it's like a part of the job description. Let it happen to me. Shouldn't happen to him. Shouldn't happen to him. What he's going through, 36 years ago, this happened. I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember. And a man's life is in tatters. A man's life is shattered. His wife is shattered. His daughters, who are beautiful, incredible young kids. They destroy people. They want to destroy people. These are really evil people.
Now, that's the clip they're all playing. They fell into what I call the Trump truth trap. You see, the media should have highlighted the fact that no one is backing this lady's story. It's just her word against a lot of other people. It's not just Judge Kavanaugh. Her best friend says, I wasn't there, and I don't even know Judge Kavanaugh. I think President Trump played it well. He was watching what was being played on media. He set him up. He's thinking ahead. Now, once they bit on this, it's only a short part of his speech. It's not the whole speech, but it was sort of a humorous moment. You see, there, and this is what he understands. If you get your news entirely from network television, I have pity on you because you're ill-informed. They will omit key details. And what I'm alluding to is there have been a lot of polls out, and the polls are switching. What's happening? Initially, Kavanaugh's numbers were going down, and the so-called Dr. Christine Ford's numbers were solid. And you got to remember, Kavanaugh appeared with his wife on one of the Fox shows, and he came over somewhat, and I did comment upon this right the next day. It was somewhat mechanical, and he wasn't mad. But what happened? What changed? Well, he gave his testimony, and he was mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Because you have people in Washington and New York, in big lie media, that were trashing him. The word you're hearing over and over, this is orchestrated. You better believe it's orchestrated. It is a character assassination, a political character assassination. And the media were not, you shouldn't expect it, they weren't playing it on the up and up. They wanted to say, oh, she was credible, she was emotional, she was credible. So what? She has no evidence other than the charge. And the key point here is that's not enough. And the second key point is she never wanted to be in the spotlight. What's interesting about, if you go back and review her testimony, it was apparent that she wasn't even aware that Senator Grassley and his committee offered to come out, fly out, and do this in private. Apparently, you have an activist lawyers that were using this woman. This woman was used, wasn't protected. And several people have said she's just as much a victim as Kavanaugh. No, I don't buy that nonsense. This lady has some issues, and they're not going to do it, but I would have completely investigated her. They always say, well, we need another FBI investigation. Well, we're going to have it. Actually, we do have it, and there's nothing there. Because they went out, at least there were two other accusers, and it fell apart. It is a smear campaign, an organized smear campaign to try to sink the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it is going to be very close. Maybe even Vice President Pence, if it's a 50-50 vote or a tie vote, can break the tie. But it's going to be narrow. I'm not saying that. Because the Democrats, they've made up their minds since day one. This is what I call drama. It's actually bad television. They want to give you the impression they're trying to be fair. They're not fair. And it didn't matter who Trump picked. That's the other thing. If it weren't Kavanaugh, it would have been somebody else. See, they think, and I think that here's the biggest miscalculation. They really think that this is going to help them in the midterm elections. I think it's just the opposite. I think it's going to really detract from them. Because why? It gets back to everybody has children, sons and daughters. They wouldn't want their son falsely accused. And people have parents. They don't want their parents falsely accused. And that's what we're talking about here. Now, Senator Lindsey Graham said it, and the report of the lady that was questioning both of them said it. There's no way that any prosecutor would prosecute this. There's no evidence. And if any prosecutor tried to take it to a court, it would be thrown out immediately. The judge would look at him and say, where's the evidence? We don't have any. Well, then why the hell are you here? What's lacking is some common sense. And the fact that people will say, wait a minute, what if they did this to me or someone I loved with no evidence? I think the American people have a fundamental sense of fairness. Not everybody, but generally, they don't believe you can accuse someone and not have evidence to support it. And that's exactly what this situation is. Cut through all the posturing and all that. It hasn't worked. And if anything, it's blowing up in their faces. And it's They deserve what they got. And I think this will go down as a fundamental mistake. And I could be wrong. Maybe. See, the thing I always say is what I learned a long time ago is there are people that don't follow politics, that don't know anything about it. If you said, who's Kavanaugh? They go, I don't know. Is he a baseball pitcher or something? I don't know. Because they don't care about this. And that's the point. It's a combination of ignorance and apathy. I don't know, and I don't care, because I have my own interest. It could be sports, whatever. You know, people have a life, and they decide, many of them, and I'm talking millions, and they're voters. They can vote. Most of them don't vote, and they specifically normally do not vote in what's called a midterm election, because the president is not on the ballot. That's why the best thing the Republicans could do is put him on the ballot, not in the sense of he's on it, but make it a national election as opposed to a local election. And this Kavanaugh thing is the perfect example. If you vote for Democrats, this is what you're going to get. A kangaroo court, where just the fact that someone comes forward and says, I accuse that person, that makes them guilty. Well, that might sound scary, but it doesn't. We're not in the Soviet Union. We're not in Nazi Germany. We're in the United States. We have a history here. We also have a Bill of Rights. But point being is a lot of people are just not tuned into this. And that's why this rally is interesting, because many of people there are Trump supporters. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. But I thought what was done to Judge Kavanaugh was despicable. And I hope every one of the senators that did that, that are Democrat, pay a price. Now, I'm not naive. Many of these people that will vote no against Kavanaugh, mostly Democrats, are not up for re-election. Only in any year, any given year, about a third of the senators, 33 or 34, are up for re-election. And they don't all serve on the Judiciary Committee. And it's right. People don't have long memories. But that whole process stunk to high hell. It wasn't right what the Senate was doing. And these are elected senators. It didn't matter how many hours he testified, how many documents he submitted, how many FBI background checks he has gone under. A, they're never going to vote for him. And there's never enough documents. There's never enough FBI investigations. And that's sort of a joke. It's not a criminal investigation. In essence, and I've said this, but I need to repeat it, they go out and they talk to your neighbors. If take yourself, let's say you apply for a government job, and that government job requires you to handle classified documents. Well, before they're going to let you handle those classified documents, you got to pass a background check. They want to make sure you're a loyal American. You're not a spy. You're not a Russian spy. You don't have an alcohol problem. You don't have a drug problem. You don't have anything that maybe could make you subject to blackmail. Let's say you're gay. You're a homosexual. So what do? They talk to neighbors, teachers, people where you work or worked in the past. And they just write down what they say, what these people say. It's the best way to look at it. It's raw intelligence. And they don't come to a conclusion about it. They will say that so-and-so's neighbor said, well, he's a drunk. Or so-and-so's neighbor said, he's a scholar and a gentleman. He's such a nice guy. And they write it down. And in Kavanaugh's case, because he worked for President Bush, that's another reason they don't like him. He was a staff secretary and handled very high, almost the highest type of classified doc. They made sure that, hey, we're dealing with a loyal American. We can trust the guy. What it comes down to is this person of, again, it's the character question. Can we trust him? And over again, the answer was absolutely. He's a mild mannered, he's just a nice guy. But they were trying to demonize him. And that's right out of the Rules for Radical. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radical. Marginalize, demonize. And that's what they were practicing. And the truth didn't matter, because most of these people truly believe that the ends justify the means. So if this means we can get someone else, that especially if it's after the election, good. We don't care if we ruin this guy's reputation. We want to stay in power. We want to elect people that believe like us. These people are ruthless, and they're well-funded. They're authoritarians and totalitarians of the left. And they're not in a good mood, because they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And many people, there's a network of hanger-ons that thought they were going to have a nice cushy job in the administration. And their friends would be taken care of. Well, it didn't happen. Elections have consequences. And one of the consequences is President Trump nominates who he wants to be Supreme Court Justice, not who Hillary Clinton wanted. I really have no horse in this race at all. I just, looking at it and trying to keep abreast of what was going on, said this is just not right. As a matter of fact, it's wrong. It's not a question of not right. It's simply wrong what they were doing. And to a certain extent, it was very wrong what they did to this lady, because she said she didn't want to appear in public. And I don't blame her, because her story just simply doesn't, there's no evidence you can bring. Remember, this happened 35, 36 years ago, somewhere 35, 36 years ago. So when Trump is, and they always say, oh, he's mocking her. No, he's describing what she said. I don't know what house I was in. I don't know how I got there. I don't know how I got home. And the people she says were there say, I wasn't there. Four of them, including her best friend, including Kavanaugh. You see, there are a lot of people out there that have issues, psychological issues. And many people say, well, something happened. No, I agree, something happened. But we're far from ever knowing. And frankly, it is none of our business. And I don't think this lady wanted the information that she wrote in a letter disclosed. And you saw what the Democrats did. Somebody, no one knows who. Everyone says, well, it wasn't Senator Feinstein. Okay, but who else handled it? Her staff handled it? Well, who else? The congressman, woman who forwarded this to the senator and her staff. See, there's a lot of people that could have leaked it. It's not an infinite list, and that just takes time. And I would like an investigation. Some people are floating that balloon that they need to investigate Senator Feinstein and her staff. That assumes that someone on her staff leaked it. Because I think they hurt this lady. And I'm not that sympathetic towards her at all. If she did that to me, I would investigate her. I probably don't have a case, because Judge Kavanaugh is a public figure. There's a much higher standard. It's defamation. But when you're dealing with a public figure, it's hard to prove that. And I don't think Judge Kavanaugh is going to go after her financially. And one issue that simply has not, one aspect, one dimension of this that has not really been zeroed in on is false memory. And the fact psychologists know how to implant false memory in your minds. And here's what's scary. She came over very confident, convincing, credible of the words. But that doesn't mean the memory is not false. Because what we find is, and I've already said this, there have been several hundred people sent to prison for long terms for rape and other crimes, but primarily rape, where in the courtroom, the lady that was raped will point to the person, that's the person who raped. Absolutely convinced. If you were in the courtroom, you would agree with her. If you're on the jury, she said that was the person. She was 100% sure. Remember that line that they asked her, some senator asked, I think it was Durbin, and she said, 100%, I'm sure it was Kavanaugh. Well, that's what started to ring alarm bells. See, some people think memory is like a video recorder. No, it's not. It's been described sort of like a Wikipedia page where people can erase things and add things, and that's more apropos. But there are just too many people that have been wrongly, falsely identified, and then only because of, especially in rape, where you have DNA evidence, and not every situation is like that, but where they have DNA evidence, you can challenge it. Now, if they find out your DNA matches, well, that's probably they got the right person, but there have been several hundred where it didn't match. And that's the point. So memory is simply not reliable. I'm not saying that people don't believe it. They believe it, but they're wrong. Memory can play tricks on you, but you'll sound very confident that you're 100% sure that you're right, when the objective answer is you're 100% wrong. Memory does that. So I think Kavanaugh, it'll be a close vote, but he's going to be the next justice on the Supreme Court. He deserves that. I would be extremely disappointed. And we don't know for sure how certain people are going to vote. Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Flake of Arizona. We'll see. By Friday, we'll know. By tomorrow, we'll know, because they'll pass a motion to stop debate. That actually continues it for 30 hours, but once it's passed, it'll be 30 hours, and then sometime Saturday, we'll know. Probably around 5 o'clock, and I'm very cautiously optimistic. I think he's going to get it by. It's going to be a squeaker. But it doesn't end there because we have those midterm elections. Now, I wanted to point out, well, let me do this because I do have the, I forgot I had the video clip. Let me just play this. This is Dr. Ford testifying, and here's the question that was asked by Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois.
Last night, the Republican staff of this committee released to the media a timeline that shows that they've interviewed two people who claim they were the ones who actually assaulted you. I'm asking you to address this new defense of mistaken identity directly. Dr. Ford, with what degree of certainty do you believe Brett Kavanaugh assaulted you?
100%.
See, that's what raised alarm bells, because that happens, unfortunately, if not every day, it happens every year in numerous courtrooms. Now, many of them, they're making a proper ID, but many more, they're not. There is a case of mistaken identity. And the reason I say that is what she's accusing the judge is totally out of character. It's not that, see, I have no doubts that Brett Kavanaugh drank beer and probably got drunk too many times. But just because you drink beer doesn't mean you're a rapist. And that's what she's accusing him of, attempted rape. I strongly recommend you listen to, I'm not going to play it, but I'm calling your attention to this. For new listeners, the way you listen to the show as well as get my show prep is go to my companion blog for the show, which is prompops.wordpress.com. And under my photo, you'll see links to the most recent shows, 60 to 80. But below that, for each of the stories I'm covering, you will get articles, cartoons, photographs, and many videos. I strongly recommend you listen to a lady called Elizabeth Loftus. It's entitled The Memory Factory. This was a presentation she made at the Ratcliffe Institute in Massachusetts. Listen to the whole thing. You don't have time to do that because that runs around an hour. The same lady did a what they call a TED presentation. Those are much shorter, usually under 20 minutes, 18 minutes. Forget how long this one is. And it's entitled, How Reliable is Your Memory? This lady is a psychologist. Now, what's important about that? So is the lady claiming that she knows 100% it was Brett Kavanaugh. She studied the problem of false memories and the impact it has had on people's lives. And I really either view both, or if you don't have time, view the second one, her TED Talk. And the TED Talk was September 23rd, 2013. It happened way before. And she's one of the authorities in this specific subfield of psychology. The Professor Ford is a psychologist. She's probably aware of this, or should be aware of this. I think she is. And I was surprised no one zeroed in on this. And listen, if I can find it, you can find it, and so can many others. They wanted to treat her gently. The Democrats wanted her to be the person that defeated the Kavanaugh nomination. There was only one big problem. She couldn't back up her story with people that were there. No evidence. And remember, we're not talking something that happened last year, last decade. Something happened 35 years ago. I think we were too nice to the lady, but I can understand why senators played it the way they did. They treated her respectfully. But she should have been challenged. And if you, the lady that was questioned there came out with a report. In essence, it said there's no way this could ever be brought to a courtroom. There's simply no evidence. And that's the key point. It's not enough to accuse anybody of anything. See, that can happen, and it does happen. And remember today, unfortunately not 35 years ago, today there are a lot of surveillance cameras. I remind you that, both in personal residences as well as businesses, stores, offices. I know a fair amount on that. And some are covert. You don't know they're there. Others are there to deter people from breaking in. And businesses, owners use it to deter primarily theft by who? Their own employees. So listen to Elizabeth Loftus, either the long version, the lecture, or the short version, the TED. And you can't really tell, because of their confidence, whether it's the truth or a false memory. That's the dilemma. That's why our courts insist, as well as those that prosecute these cases, that you have evidence, corroborating evidence. And there was none. That's the message that you haven't heard. But Trump got it out. He played it nice. But after the hearings were over, and they were, remember, they were over before this last-minute charge came out from left field when someone leaked the letter. But when that was over, then he, at a rally, mocked her. I think it was just being descriptive. I don't know where I was. I don't know when it happened. I don't know how I got there. I don't know how I got home. Well, with all due respect, lady, what do you want me to do? How do I know you're not making this up? How do I know you don't have a false memory? It goes nowhere. It should go nowhere. And frankly, if the letter had not been leaked, no one would have known about it. And Judge Kavanaugh and his families would not have had to endure what's been described as character assassination. It disgusts me that the Senate Judiciary Committee, people on that did this, together with their allies in big lie media. You can't get away from this story. Hopefully by Saturday, more likely, there'll be a vote one way or the other. There's only two possibilities. Either Judge Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed, in which case the following Monday he starts at the Supreme Court, or he's not confirmed and goes back to being a judge. That's what's going to happen. And then on November 6th, the American people go out to vote. And I think a lot of them, at least the people that are paying attention, that know the fact that this lady's story had no evidence to support it, will say, you know, I didn't really like what these senators did. And because of that, I'm going to punish the Democratic candidate. And I'd urge him to do it. Why? If they would do it to a well-respected judge, they can do it to anybody. And they are doing it to anybody. These are false accusations. And I'd be the first one to say that if you were sexually assaulted, go to the police. I know it's not easy. These women need to be listened to. I agree with that. But this is simply using a person, one person against another, this is politically motivated. And many of these people truly believe that the ends justify the means. It's all about power to them. They don't care about the judge, and they certainly don't care about the professor. The only thing they care about is getting reelected, or this is the first time running, get elected for the first time. And they're ignoring what? Your rights, the Bill of Rights. They're trying to change it that there's no presumption of innocence. Well, I will fight for that, and most American people will. These are radical extremist leftists. They were trying to conduct a show trial, but it backfired. At least now it's backfired. And I'll be honest, I'm tired of this whole situation. But thank God, come Saturday, you got about 2 days to put up with this. But I've given you a lot to think about. I wish you just have an open mind. I don't care if you agree with me or not. There are very, very few people that I totally agree with. And the same regarding me. I know I have strong opinions. But what I ask is you have an open mind and you research it. You come to some conclusions. Now, I want to get away from Kavanaugh. And this is another story that, in a way, I'm sick of, but in a different way. The Congress is investigating the so-called Russian Trump collusion. What are they investigating? One of the key questions on this, what started this whole Russian Trump collusion? When did it start? And who was involved? Well, we had some information at least presented to the Congressional Committee investigating this. And who were they interviewing? And supposedly it's two people, and I'm not sure who the second person is. James Baker. Now, not for those that have long memories, President George H.W. Bush's chief of staff, and then he was, I think, Treasury Secretary and Secretary of State and an attorney. No, we're not talking that Baker. And I don't know if they're related. I don't think they are. But no, this is the former FBI general counsel. Now, you need to understand something. a general counsel of whether it's a corporation or a government department, usually on any important legal matter or sensitive matter, the general counsel is going to be in the room and is going to be approached. And this Baker was a well-respected confidant of former FBI Director James Comey. Now, Baker resigned in 2017. He stayed on for a while, but then got out. But he had to be in on the review of the application to the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, that normally issues warrants against who? Foreign nationals that are spying on the United States. That's what they handle. It's a secret court, and 99.997% of the time, they approve the warrant. And that enables the FBI and any other government agency, such as the National Security Agency, any part of the intelligence agency, they have a valid warrant if they convince the court. Doesn't take much convincing. So they will spy or surveil on you, or like Donald Trump said, they'll wiretap them. Well, everyone laughed when he said, Obama was wiretapping me. No, he's right. They were. And it started with how did the ball get rolling and what were they doing? Let me give you a thumbnail sketch. And I've gone over this several times, so I'm trying not to bore you, but they wanted to spy. And I say, who wanted to spy? Obama and Hillary Clinton wanted to spy on the Trump campaign. So what was the little background? Remember, we're talking 2016 in roughly the April time frame. The Clinton campaign, together with the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, paid their law firm that's representing her and her campaign, Perkins Coie, C-O-I-E, some money. Enough money so they could hire Fusion GPS to do opposition research of who? Trump, Donald Trump. They wanted dirt. When people do opposition research, and everybody does it, there's nothing illegal, and I believe in opposition research. Know your enemy. Know your opponent. So I'm not surprised they did this. They did it through their law firm to kind of cover their tracks. They could have went directly to Fusion GPS and paid him for it, but no, they kind of fuzzed it up so you couldn't follow those tracks by giving it to the law firm. And law firm went out and hired this firm. Now, normally, and I've gone over this a couple of times, but I'll at least give you this much background. Normally, when one politician's campaign wants opposition research on their opponent, who are they up against? It's mostly domestic information. It's public information. So you search county records, newspapers, and what are you looking for? Anything that could be embarrassing, criminal, and not only on them, but their family, their wives, their children, anything and everything. Does that mean you're going to use this information? Not necessarily. You're looking for, you've heard the phrase, skeletons in the closet. Now, what was a little bit unusual about this, until you start to think about it, what did Fusion GPS do? They hired a former British intelligence operative, Christopher Steele. Now, he was retired from MI6, but he did, when he was working for him, Russia was one of the countries that he was spying on Russians. So he does have some contacts there. What's interesting about Christopher Steele, because it has come out, he really, for some reason, doesn't like Donald Trump. I don't know why he has this animus, but he did. And the suspicion was that Donald Trump maybe was, and I have no doubt the Russians might have tried, being influenced by the Russian government and its operatives. And he did have one of the locations for this Miss Universe contest was Russia, and Trump does know some Russians. But was that really what this was about? No. It was about the same thing they just did to Kavanaugh. Didn't matter whether the information was true or false. They wanted to smear Donald Trump, ideally in late September, October time frame. Sort of a knockout punch. He's colluding with the Russians. That's the favorite word that's come out. You've heard it once, you've heard it a dozen times. Donald Trump was colluding with the Russians. Where did this story originate? It originated with the Clinton campaign, because they were paying Fusion GPS through their law firm that they hired to pay this Christopher Steele, the famous Christopher Steele dossier. Originally, it was the Trump-Russian dossier. I always called it the dirty dossier. And Christopher Steele getting paid, you got to produce something for your client. So he got bits and pieces, mainly rumor. This was a manufactured false information that they wanted to give the appearance of being valid intelligence. And so one thing you do, well, this was a former British intelligence agent that was also in the past did business with the FBI and other people in the intelligence community. He had credibility is the point. So if Christopher Steele came up with a dossier and presented it to the FBI, and that's one place he presented, people would believe it. He's a known entity. Well, he came up with this. About 17 pieces of information, put it together as a 35-page memo. He did subsequently even revise it. And it was dressed up as an intelligence report. It was this dossier, this report, eventually worked its way to the FBI and was used as the justification to get a surveillance warrant of Carter Page. Now, Carter Page is this businessman that had made trips to Russia. He also told the FBI and the CIA what he found out when he was doing business over there. But why did they pick Carter Page? Because he was a volunteer, not a paid person, in the Trump campaign, rather low level, and only for a brief time. But they weren't interested in Carter Page. Carter Page was a pretext. What they do is, who did Carter Page talk to? Email, telephone. And whoever that was, who do they talk to? They were trying to indirectly spy on anyone in the Trump campaign that in any way came in contact with Carter Page. And that's what happened. And they did get the warrant. Initially, they didn't. But then in October, they did. Now, supposedly, whoever testified this week to this congressional committee investigating it, he was approached by an attorney for this law firm. We don't know exactly what was given to the FBI. But this attorney, client, is the Hillary Clinton campaign. So this is someone that was in the room and knew what was going on. Why? He's general counsel of the FBI. Remember, on these FISA warrants, people at a high level in the FBI and the Department of Justice have to sign off on it. I'm talking the deputy director of the FBI and the deputy attorney general. High-level people. And they all have their general counsels that advises on them. What you need to understand, though, and what was hidden from the FISA court, was the fact that this was what? Paid for opposition research that is now being used not as opposition research, but as justification for a warrant. The effect of that warrant being issued, and remember, the warrant was renewed 3 times. So there were a total of 4 sign-offs, including in the Trump administration he had taken office. Now, we don't know what was said. That's the problem. And supposedly there's another individual involved. Let me play briefly what Congressman Meadows, Mark Meadows, and Jim Jordan said about this. This was reported on Fox News.
We know Bruce Orr was giving information to the FBI. We know Christopher Steele was giving information to the FBI. We also learned today that there was another source giving information directly to the FBI that dealt with the Russian investigation. So we felt that was important. There's some other good information we got on some other issues that, again, we hope this transcript will get out soon. So, I mean, the kind of information that the American people need to know, and they need to know it as soon as possible. So this was, in my mind, maybe the most informative, I think Mark would agree, the most informative and best deposition we've had yet as far as learning new things and confirming some concerns and suspicions we had for a long time.
What Jim said is probably the most informative interview that we've had to date. Some of the things that were shared were explosive in nature. I mean, I couldn't believe that I was hearing some of the testimony that here in the United States that the DOJ and FBI were involved with based on that without sharing details. We did learn one other thing, and that is based on some testimony today some of the footnotes, FISA footnotes that were in the Democrat memo, were inconsistent with the testimony we heard today, which would shed light on perhaps the FBI knowing more about the potential bias and motivations behind those sharing information.
Now, this is somewhat of a tease, and I hope Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan get this out as quick as possible. And we're still waiting for that total declassification of the FISA warrant. Supposedly a foreign government. Could it be the British government objected to releasing it? Ladies and gentlemen, you had the Obama administration's intelligence community spying on the Republican candidate for president. And more the information is coming out. There's a problem of doing that. They broke the law. You're not supposed to use government assets, resources, the intelligence community, whether it's the FBI or the National Security Agency or the Central Intelligence Agency, to spy on your political opposition. It's illegal. It could be legal if what was in the Christopher Steele dossier was true, but it wasn't. It was made up. It was rumors, disinformation. From who? Oh, there was collusion with the Russians. Russians gave this information. They were trying to smear who? Donald Trump. It's going higher and higher and higher. When you try to put the dons, the head of various mafia organizations, to jail, you start at the low level and you work your way up. An organized crime case or a drug case. That's what's happening. It's not happening fast enough. And frankly, it needs a special counsel. It needs the impaneling of a grand jury. And it needs people to come forward that simply don't want to go to jail. If I was a former general counsel of the FBI and were privy to these conversations, and this gentleman was, he doesn't want to go to jail. So he's going to, when he's subpoenaed and testified, going to tell his side of what he knows. And that's the way you have to work it. My frustration is primarily with the Trump administration. That might surprise you, specifically Attorney General Sessions. It's long overdue for that second special counsel. And I think Jeff Sessions, if he doesn't have that already working, he's going to be out of a job after this election. Sometime between November 6th and the end of the year, he's going to be out of there unless he's doing it. Now, what I'm alluding to. I've heard reports that there is a grand jury impaneled. And why is that important? You call people to appear before a grand jury and testify. And if you lie to them, guess what? You can go to jail for that. So maybe, just maybe, a possibility that Attorney General Sessions, he appointed a prosecutor to do this. And generally, I am in favor of the Department of Justice and the FBI to use their own people. The only time that I would be persuaded to use a special counsel is if the corruption, the crimes are in the FBI and are in the Department of Justice. Then you can't investigate yourself, even though it's a new administration. No, you need someone that is truly independent. And we'll take the evidence wherever it leads. And there are problems with special counsels because they tend to go on and on and on to justify their existence. In this case, I think there's a lot of crimes that need to be prosecuted. And this goes right into the former administration, right into the White House. There's some high, we already know some of the names in the FBI and the Department of Justice. There were people in the White House that were involved in this, especially the unmasking of the surveillance reports. Because when you get the warrant, what happens? Whether it's the NSA or the FBI, they're intercepting communications, whether that's email or whether it's a phone call. They are the manufacturers of the intelligence, but they're consumers of intelligence. And that is the White House, and that is the Department of Justice. And they can ask, well, who's the American citizen? Because under the rules, you're not supposed to disclose the identity of an American citizen. Why? Think about the Fourth Amendment, your right to privacy. You might be accidentally caught up in this. You're innocent. You're not spying, but a Russian calls you. You don't even might not even know they're a Russian. Or you might think you're doing the government's business. But apparently, there was hundreds of unmaskings. They're supposed to provide reasons for it that they need to know. This would not have happened unless President Obama wanted to happen, because it involves some of his closest advisors. the word had to be passed that President Obama wanted this done, which means we're talking Valerie Jarrett, his most closest trusted advisor. We're talking Susan Rice, his national security advisor, and many other people. We're working our way up the chain of command, and it goes right into the White House. It goes from the FBI, the Department of Justice. It goes to the CIA. Because why do they suddenly pick Christopher Steele? Because in the past, he had worked with the Central Intelligence Agency. And who? Brennan was the head of the director. Very, very partisan. So we have the CIA director possibly involved, head of the FBI, head of the Justice Department, and high-level officials in the Trump administration. The Obama administration. When are the American people going to be informed? I want Attorney General Jeff Sessions to announce, the sooner the better for him, that he's appointed a special counsel to clean up the messes of the former Department of Justice and the FBI and any other agencies that were involved, especially the Central Intelligence Agency, but also the National Security Agency. And apparently some of that information the general counsel of the FBI obviously was privy to and apparently did testify. Now, supposedly it was someone else. I don't know who it is. And they need to definitely, while they've talked to Bruce Orr, again, Congress has, they need to get his wife. And his wife is refusing to testify because guess what? She worked for Fusion GPS. She's an expert on Russian history. We'll be getting bits and pieces. You see, I think, depending on the results of this midterm election, I've been saying Trump needs to go on the offense. He needs to take the gloves off and come out swinging because we've seen what the Democratic Party does. They smear. They try to smear Trump. They try to smear Kavanaugh. They don't play fair, folks. They play for keeps, and they play dirty, and they will use various parts of the government to do it. They will continue to do it unless you make an example of them. We're talking many, many crimes by high government officials. So Trump needs to get moving. Otherwise, they're going to do it again and again and again. If these criminals, and I'm talking high-level criminals, think they get away with it, they'll do it again and again and again. You got to make examples of them. It's not enough that they resign. It's not enough that they get fired. These are not mistakes. These are crimes. And you focus in on that application submitted by the Department of Justice and the FBI, not once, not twice, not three times, four times, and the officials involved in that. What do they know? This is criminal behavior by the Democratic Party, the Hillary Clinton campaign, the Obama administration, misuse of the intelligence community, and spying on Donald Trump and his campaign. Initially for the purpose to come up with an October surprise, and when they lost the election, to try to impeach him. This stinks to high hell. And a number of these officials will be going to prison, should go to prison. They forgot that they raised their hand and promised, set an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. They forgot their oaths. They betrayed their oaths for political ends. So more should be coming out in a not-too-distant future. And I have a lot of information as to who these people are, and all you got to do is read. Because if you're waiting for big lie media to connect the dots, they're never going to connect the dots. They're trying to keep this buried. That's what you need to understand. You need to know who the players are. And one or more of these players is going to turn state evidence. And they should. Because they don't want to go to jail. But it's about time that President Trump ramp up the pressure. Now, we don't know, maybe even President Trump doesn't know, what, if anything, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is doing about this. I hope he's doing something. He needs to. Now, there's another story that's in the news, and I debated whether even to get into this. But the reason why I want to get into it is it does concern the president, but it's an example of a smear campaign. And that's the New York Times expose on how Donald Trump's father, Fred Trump, structured his financial affairs. And I used to be in the financial services business. And one of the concerns of business owners, it's a legitimate concern. How do I pass my wealth to my heirs? Now, it doesn't have to be his children, but most usually it's the heirs or the children. Or it could be a charity, or it could be a school. It could be anything. But someone has amassed a fortune, an estate. How do I legally arrange my affairs to, first of all, be able to transfer my wealth to whoever I want to, and in the process of doing that, minimize my tax bill? And Fred Trump was a sharp, successful real estate developer, and he arranged his affairs to do that. That's called tax avoidance, and there are various ways to do it. And you should do it, especially when the government is there trying to take it. You see, I would do away with estate and gift taxes, totally do away with it. Why? Because however you were successful in business, whether it's real estate or some other firm, software, whatever, you paid your taxes on that many times. See, I believe Americans should be able to pass their wealth to whoever they want. Doesn't have to be the children. Many times it is, but also to anyone. And the government should get nothing because they've gotten taxes from the individual as well as his business. That's what one of the advantages. I'm for the fair tax. My version is called Fair Tax Less. It would replace all federal taxes, note all, with a single tax on consumption. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but it would also get rid of estate and gift taxes, payroll taxes, income taxes, capital gains taxes, and everyone would know how it works. Everyone pays the same rate, and everyone gets a tax rebate. We waste. American businesses today pay over $500 billion in tax compliance. I'm not talking what they owe in taxes. I'm talking on money to report how much they owe, because our tax laws are so complicated. No one understands them. That's why you have to hire people, and even they don't understand. The IRS certainly doesn't understand, because it depends on who you ask. You'll get a different answer. We need to do away with the IRS. We need to do away with income taxes. We need to change the basis of taxation from income to consumption, and make it fair, make it simple, and make it transparent. Now, if we had such a tax system, and you were a Fred Trump, you wouldn't have to engage tax lawyers, attorneys, CPAs, to try to come up with a way to get your fortune to your children, your heirs, whoever you want it to go to, as well as who you don't want it to go to. And very successful business people do that. The prudent ones do. And apparently Fred Trump did it. What the New York Times is alleging is he crossed the line from tax avoidance to evading his taxes. Now, let me ask you, why are they doing this? First, the obvious one. I never believed this, but Trump said, well, you know, I got a small loan of $1 million from my father, and I had to pay it back with interest. I'm a self-made billionaire. Well, if you believe that, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. No, I never believe that. Because if your parents, in this case Fred Trump, amass a fortune in terms of real estate, and he did, I knew all along that he was gifting to avoid estate taxes. We're talking about more than half of the estate would be subject to an estate tax. So he's going to try to arrange his affairs to avoid that tax. And apparently that's exactly what he did. No surprise there. The point being, though, Donald Trump was a beneficiary, one of several beneficiaries of a lot of gift money. And his father helped him out when Donald Trump was in trouble. He doesn't want to expose that. And I'm sure he's not happy that the New York Times has got a hold of this information. We're able to piece it together. Where I differ with the New York Times, I say good for Fred Trump and good for his family, including Donald Trump. Because, see, where I'm coming from, I don't want the government. I don't think the government is entitled to anything other than during-the-lifetime income taxes, assuming that's the system we have. But you have people that believe, by God, he should give half to the government. Why? What did the government do? The answer is nothing. They're always out with their hands, Gimme, 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 gimme. So you spend a lifetime building a fortune, an estate, and then the government comes along and says, I'm entitled to half? Hell no. So I know where Fred Trump was coming from, and I have sympathy with the beneficiaries. This is ancient history, though. What they're trying to do is, first, and this is the easiest thing to do, is pop that bubble. No, Donald Trump is not a self-made man. He got a lot of help from daddy. He was lucky. He was born as one of several sons and daughters of Fred Trump and his wife. And like any good businessman, any good father and mother, they wanted to pass their estates to whoever they wanted to, including Donald Trump, and Donald Trump benefited from it. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised. Now, I will admit, I've read most, not all, I haven't had time, of the New York Times piece. And yes, there's something in there that's suspicious. But you're hearing a biased report. They have an axe to grind. And I don't think they have all the information. And there is a fine line. There's a gray area. There are things you can do that are strictly tax avoidance. Everybody does that. Then there are things that are, they call them a scheme, fraud. You're trying to not pay what you should pay. And there's a gray area in between. Do the American people really care about this? Not really. I think Donald Trump, President Trump, is upset about this. He should be, because he benefited from what his father did. But did Fred Trump do something that is illegal? Well, he's dead. The statute of limitations have run, except where there's a fraud involved, the statute of limitations only start when they learn of that fraud, and that's very important. You see, the reason why I'm suspicious about this, guess what? We had an IRS. I don't say they're the brightest people in the world, and the state, they're always with their hand out trying to get money. You don't think they didn't look into this? That's why I say it's ancient history. They're trying to smear Donald Trump, just like they tried to smear Judge Brett Kavanaugh. That's what they do in Washington and big lie media. They smear people. It's an industry, folks. It's all about power and money. And the people in power and money want to keep it, and the people not in power and money want to take it. So I don't know where this is going. I only think you've heard part of the story. And I'm not worried about Donald Trump. I'm sure his heirs are getting a little bit concerned. What will most likely happen is New York State, maybe the IRS, but primarily New York State, which will try to get money from those beneficiaries of Fred Trump's estate. In other words, they want money. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm the state. I don't care if your father made a fortune. I'm entitled to half or whatever the percentage is. And that's where you got to be careful. But I don't blame Fred Trump for organizing his business affairs to try to maximize what he gives his children or his grandchildren or his favorite charities. We need to get rid of estate taxes. We need to get rid of income tax. We need to get rid of payroll taxes, capital gains taxes. We need to simplify the tax system, throw the legacy tax system in the wastebasket, close the IRS, and go to a broad-based consumption tax such as the fair tax, or my version of the fair tax, or anything but an income tax-based system. We need to raise revenues, and a broad-based consumption tax will raise a lot of revenues. Why? People have to buy things. The tax would be on new, when you purchase a new good or service, you're going to be hit with a tax. The fair tax, the rate is 23%. Fair tax less at 20%, and what some people like to mischaracterize this as a sales tax. It's similar to a sales tax, except I'm in Texas. We have a sales tax, 8.25%. But I don't get a tax prebate, and with the fair tax and fair tax less, my version of it, you get a prebate. The prebate under fair tax less is $1,000 every U.S. citizen, 18 years of age or older, every month will get a check from the government. The government will be sending you a check for $1,000. So you get 12 checks, $12,000 for the year. Now, why do that? The problem with a sales tax, problem with Social Security taxes, Medicare taxes, their burden falls much harder on low or no income people, middle income, low income people. The incidence of taxation is much higher. So to make the tax fair, we give you the prebate. And what that means is, let's go quickly, and I have to wrap up the show. Let's say you're single and you spend $60,000. That includes rent, food, clothing, gasoline, what you spend your money on, not education, though. You'd be taxed 20%. In other words, the price of any of these goods or services, a new, I'm underlining that, good or service, you're going to be paying 20%. Now, are you going to actually pay it or report it? No. When you check out, let's say you buy a dollar loaf of bread. In that dollar price of the loaf of bread, 20 cents of the dollar is for the taxes. So when you buy that one single loaf of bread, 20 cents goes to the government. So if you spend $60,000, now you're not going to buy just bread. You're going to buy peanut butter, whatever, ham to go with it. You would pay 20% of the $60,000 is $12,000. You following with me so far? But every month you're getting a $1,000 check. So that offsets your taxes. So at the end of the year, you've paid $12,000 in taxes. Every time you've checked out and you've gotten that tax prebate, that offsets it. So anyone spending $60,000 or less, no taxes. Anyone above that, they're going to be taxed. No, it would replace all federal taxes with one broad-based consumption tax. And that would be used to finance the government. Then you don't have businessmen, whether it's Fred Trump or your father or mother or whoever, trying to arrange their affairs, and they should, to transfer as much income wealth to the people they want to give it to. They've earned it, and one of the benefits of earning a fortune is to decide where that fortune goes to, whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else. And Donald Trump is probably, I assure you, done the same thing with his children and his grandchildren, as well as charities. I'd be surprised if he didn't. Do away with the government's big hand trying to reach into your pocket and take your money. So I don't really care much about this story, but I didn't like the point of view. Well, we're entitled. The government is entitled to have 50% of this. No, they're not. If it weren't the government, you would call it stealing, but that's what it is. Again, what is it about, folks? It's about power. Power. So there'll be more to this, I'm sure, and Donald Trump will respond accordingly. New York Times better be careful, though, because they don't have the whole story. They're alleging that he set up, Fred Trump set up a corporation owned by his kids, and he's going to try to get the money to the kids, okay? This corporation buys supplies that who needs? All Trump's buildings need. But what they would do, they buy from a vendor, mark it up, send the bill, the invoice to the, think of it as the Trump real estate business, and then the real estate business would pay that invoice. So what's happening is, over time, more and more money is going to this company, and the Trump various real estate projects are overpaying for the supplies, and they get in many ways, I think it's clever, but it sometimes you can be clever by half. Who knows if it happened? Apparently it did. If it did, it's going to get very interesting. The problem is this happened so many years ago, but for the government, doesn't matter. But if you're very, very rich, you can hire their lawyers to fight this. And I'm sure Donald Trump is perfectly capable of doing that. I don't think the American people care about this at all. This is just another attempt to smear Donald Trump. It may or may not be successful, but I really don't think you're going to get the attention of the American people with that. All the people that believe in big government and the government should take your money, well, they're Democrats. They're not Republicans. They're certainly not independents. I want to downsize the government. Well, I'm running out of time. Thank you very much for listening. And now my favorite song, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com